Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of informing and motivating listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 5 regional stations, as well as 4 additional stations in Virginia. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. We sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support of any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support us in this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale.
Go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donate button or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for hanging in there and joining with us as we continue to Let's Face the Issues today. We're talking about war on our liberties. That's war on our Bill of Rights, our freedom of speech, our freedom and liberties in worship, our right to keep and bear arms. We're watching the war escalating day after day in America. In fact, our freedom of speech is, as one writer says, slipping away. In fact, this article that is before me, I'm about to read just a sketchy portion of it. This writer says, freedom of speech slipping away. As the Biden and Harris administration assumes power, the most basic American freedom of speech and expression is under unprecedented threat. Further, the article says technology. The internet, which was largely non-existent about 25 years ago, now plays a huge role in our lives as a tool of communication. And a survey just published by the Pew Research Center, 86% say they often or sometimes get their news from digital sources, smartphones, tablets, and computers, etc. This compared to 68% who say they often or sometimes get their news from television. 50% who get their news from radio, and 32% get their news from printed publication. Power alone doesn't worry me. Exclusive power, power to control, does, this writer says. The decision by Twitter to kick the president off the United States off Twitter, disconnecting him from 89 million who follow him, is totally mind-boggling. Further, in this article, it says, now, quoting the Bible, expressing views of believing Christian is out of bounds, banned from the nation's major platforms. We must recognize that our nation's most precious commodity, our freedom to speak, to act, and to assemble, now being seriously threatened by the Biden administration, because those controlling the technology companies disproportionately have political sympathizers to the left. It is the freedom of conversation from the conservatives that is most seriously under siege today. Here's an article. Free speech, the dread of tyrants. It's an article written by Dr. Erwin Lutzer as a guest columnist for WorldNet Daily. WorldNet Daily published this article, Free Speech, the Dread of Tyrants. Dr. Erwin Lutzer answers 5 questions about increasing moves toward collective demonization of free speech. He goes on to say, when he asks what is free speech important, he says, Frederick Douglass said in 1860 that free speech was the dread of tyrants. It is the one right that they first strike down. Only free speech can keep us from totalitarianism. Totalitarianism argues this way. We have to keep you safe, so we need to take away your freedoms. Does that sound much like what we find today with COVID-19? This is a massive article. I'll touch on 2 or 3 other points. He says, we have to insist that the price is too high. We cannot surrender free speech under the guise of keeping us safe for the good people of America. He goes on to say, after the riots of trashing the Capitol January the 6th, we immediately saw the former President Trump was banned from the various platforms and others followed suit. How do you interpret this? Answer, Dr. Lutzer says, this issue is much larger than Donald Trump. So whether you voted for him or not, this is not a matter of who should be concerned. It should concern all of us, because free speech should not be a partisan issue. We must understand collective demonization. This is the philosophy that says once someone is banned by the elite, that is the ruling class, for what they have done or said, others must show solidarity and follow suit. Totalitarianism always acts in solidarity. And he goes on to use the Soviet Union and China, et cetera, as examples. And he goes on to talk about the Marxist basis of all of this. He says in another question, what is the actual basis for the radical left's use to decide who gets to speak and who does not? Answer, Dr. Lutzer says, that is based on Marxist principle. A Marxist from the 60s taught that if we accept freedom of speech, the capitalists, that is the oppressors, we will always use their privilege to win the argument against the oppressed. So we need to ban them from speaking and give them no voice. Give the oppressed no freedom of speech. The oppressors should remain quiet. So you have expansive opportunities for free speech among the LGBTQ activists, for example, but not for Christian conservatives who don't go along with the agenda. The oppressed must speak. The oppressor must remain silent, Dr. Lutzer says. And I could go on, because he has a fantastic article in relationship to that. Frederick Douglass says, liberty is meaningless where the right to utter one's thoughts and opinions have ceased to exist. I believe we have Bob on the line. Go over the question or comment, please.
Hey, Pastor, what am I supposed to do when I walk into a Publix and they tell me to put my mask on?
I use the term, and I face that in many places. I use the term, my constitution won't allow me to wear a mask. And if they retort that, I say, now you want to be my physician? Now you want to tell me how much I can restrict my oxygen intake? Now you want to tell me how long I need to go without breathing? Is that what you're telling me? And generally speaking, they say, go ahead and shop. And I tell them, now you got a choice. If you don't want me in your store, tell me. There are other places that will accept my money. I'll be glad to go. But I'm not putting a mask on to spend my money with you.
That's a lot of work.
It is. And I have discovered if they've got a gigantic sign on the door say, mask required, I walk in the door if anybody wants to confront me. I was confronted about 3 weeks ago at Walmart. A little Gestapo sitting there with a box of mask, offering a mask. I said, I don't need one. He said, you need to wear a mask if you come in and shop. And I said, why? He said, it's a state mandate. I said, no, sir, it's not a state mandate. Governor DeSantis has not mandated a mask. I said, it's a wannabe dictator empty suit downtown called the mayor that wants you to wear a mask, but I'm not wearing a mask. I said, now you can tell me to get out of your store, and I will, but I'll either get out of your store or shop. What do you want me to do? He said, go ahead and shop. I'm just simply not going to be forced into wearing a mask and harming my health.
Well, you know, I agree, and a lot of people agree with everything that you say. Would you forgive me if I put my mask on?
Put your mask on if you feel you need to or want to. I simply put it this way. What we're finding today is that it has become a symbol of pride. It's become a symbol of I'm willing to go along to get along. And if you don't have a mask, generally speaking, I have found in the stores and shopping centers and places of business, they will look at you as though you're the one that's doing something wrong. Look at you as though you're the one that's absolutely out of tune. And they look at themselves as being, we're going in step. We're listening to the government. We're following what the government says. We're the good guys. You're the bad guy. We're separating society today, totally separating society. And that's one of the main goals and one of the main tenets in Maoism, Leninism, and Marxism, i.e. communism, is to separate the people, to prevent people from having dialogue and communication. That's what's taking place with big tech. That's what they're doing through the mask, forced mask wearing. In fact, I'd love to see, my personal opinion, I'd love to see a group of citizens, a class action suit against the mayor, because every 30 days, he's done so now for about 6 or 7 months, he renews his 30-day mask mandate. And I'm asking senators in the state of Florida and representatives in the state of Florida to introduce legislation that will make it illegal for a mayor to go beyond 30 days with an executive order on anything that deals with the health of an individual. He doesn't have the right to do so. But because it's not been challenged in court, because he's not had his feet put to the fire, he thinks that somehow, some way he can do so. And we need to, as citizens, rise up and say, no, you're not going to force me to ruin my health. In fact, you can look at the side of a box of new masks at Walmart. and it says does not prevent COVID-19. It says do not wear beyond 2 to 4 hours. In fact, it is the most egregious thing that I have ever believed would be possible for America and Americans to bow to and say, I'm going to be susceptible to that. We don't have any idea what it's going to do to long-term health for the Americans that's wearing the mask. In fact, 85% of those that have died with COVID wore masks 97% of the time. Did it keep them from dying? No. And I'm not laughing at or mocking at the demise of those with COVID, but I'm simply saying we need to speak up, stand up, be heard, and be seen, and stop being sheeple and go back to being people, free citizens in America. Bob, thank you so much.
I was afraid you were going to say all that.
Well, keep on keeping on, brother. I would just encourage you to do what you feel is right and honorable before God and what is right and honorable in the recognition that we are free people. We're free citizens. And as free citizens, we ought not to bow and bend to every whim and wish of dictators in America today. And that's what we have, is a bunch of blue state governors and mayors that are dictators, want to be tyrants, that's forcing us to do something outside of what we need to do for our health and survival. But thank you so much, Bob. God bless you. Keep on looking up. Our redemption draweth nigh. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the war on liberties. And it's not just on our freedom of speech and our freedom of worship. It's the freedoms that we have in general. Here's an article that says, America under censorship, Biden's presidency certified, free speech may be no longer. Then there's a statement from George Washington. If freedom of speech is taken away, then dumb and silence may be led. The dumb and silence may be led like sheep to the slaughter. George Washington. Another quote. Once a government is committed to the principle of silencing the voice of opposition, it has only one way to go, and that is down the path of increasingly repressive measures until it becomes the source of terror to all its citizens and create a country where everyone lives in fear. That was President Truman that made that statement. And I believe that's where we are today. Here's an article that says, with the Biden era beginning, the call for censorship and restriction of speech and our freedoms gets louder and louder. Here's another article. A First Amendment agenda for Biden's first 100 days. Biden has made no bones about what he wants to do in the first 100 days. He says the range of free speech related challenges to the new administration will confront is daunting. Many of these challenges involve novel questions at the intersection of free speech and new technologies and require careful thought and creative solutions for the federal agencies, Congress, and courts. But there are steps the administration can and will take on its own, according to this writer. Here's another article. Biden White House wages war on First Amendment. We support the need for social media platforms to take steps to reduce hate speech. Now, keep in mind, the Biden administration is doing this under the guise of hate speech. Ladies and gentlemen, again, go back and do the research. The courts have already ruled there's no such thing as hate speech. Now, I understand that in other nations, you have hate speech. You have that in Germany. You have it in France. You have it in China. You have it in Canada, et cetera, et cetera. But in America, there's no such thing as hate speech. Free speech is free speech. And so, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about what the Biden administration is doing. The waging war on the First Amendment said we support the need for social media. They're, if you please, urging on social media to limit what we can say, who we can speak to. The article further says, when asked if Biden supports the continued ban on Trump for social media, his spokesperson said that Biden White House supports the need for social media platforms to continue to take steps to reduce all hate speech. And with them, hate speech is if you say anything about the coup that overthrew a presidency, if you say anything about the illegal election, if you say anything about COVID-19 being a shroud for forcing us into a socialist Marxist nation. This article further says all speech is protected on the First Amendment, but the Biden White House openly admits it is working with big tech to censor and to ban all conservatives under the guise of reducing hate speech. This article further says, however, big tech is working with the U.S. government to ban and to censor and to shadow ban all conservatives, which is, they know already, a clear violation of the First Amendment. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go over the question and comment, please. Do we have a caller on the line? I believe we lost our caller. Call back if you get a moment. That'll be fine. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the war on liberties. Here's an article that says Joe Biden repeats his haunting threat against the Bill of Rights. Now, listen, this is blatant. This is clear. You don't have any wonders and doubts of what he's saying. The shocking wave of authoritarianism unleashed during the current crisis only seems to have reinforced the president with his constitutional amendments. Speaking to Wired, W-I-R-E-D, an interview published, Biden said no amendment is absolute, thus suggesting that even something as precious as the freedoms guaranteed under our Bill of Rights are not set in stone. Responding to a public curiosity about gun control platform, Biden explained that not only does the left, not only what he felt about the Second Amendment, but all of the similar vital constitutional amendments as well. The answer, he says, is no. We have no rational policy, no amendment to the Constitution that is to be considered absolute. He goes further to say, our right to speak and to worship freely, to defend ourselves with firearms, and even to have a trial by jury by our peers all hinge on our constitutional amendments that can be repealed by the process if put in place, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the evisceration and the destruction of our liberties through the war on these liberties, the Bill of Rights that is in the crosshairs of the Biden administration. Ladies and gentlemen, the Biden administration, with these appointed people that he's put in place, the leaders that he's put in place, have a full in-your-face attack, an assault on our freedoms today. Here's an article, Daniel Horowitz says, for the first time in our lives, free speech is about to be criminalized. He states, quotes James Madison. Our First Amendment freedoms give us the right to think what we like and say what we please. And if we, the people, are to govern ourselves, we must have these rights, even if they are misused by a minority. And he goes on to talk about that. He says, we never thought this day would arrive in America. Last year, we learned that they can shout COVID as an emergency and our life, liberty, and property all disappear. They can shout racism and our inalienable rights to self-defense disappears. The last thing we had was the freedom to the citizens, what is happening, even if there's nothing we can do about it. Now they can shout right-wing terrorism, a right-wing conspiracy, and say that freedom of speech no longer exists or applies. Ladies and gentlemen, listen carefully. The Biden administration is now setting up a Department of Domestic Terrorism, and those that they're calling domestic terrorists happens to be the free speechers, those that believe in our Bill of Rights, those that are conservatives, those that are Christians, those that feel that should have the right to worship as we please, those that feel that we should have the right to keep and bear arms. We are considered now the domestic terrorists. And they've set up a Department of Domestic Terrorism. This article says, beware the Biden war on domestic terrorism. And we are the domestic terrorist. In fact, it goes on to say in this elongated article, moving like laser in laser fashion. That was a statement that was made about the Biden administration. Laser fashion to uncover as much as the Biden administration is moving, and laser fashion to uncover as much as they can about what looks very similar to insurgency movements that we've seen overseas. A domestic threat he categorizes as an unholy alliance involving religious extremists, authoritarianism, fascists, bigots, racists, navatists, and libertarians. Ladies and gentlemen, that is all encompassing of what we have in America today that we feel are free people. But ladies and gentlemen, it doesn't just go now with the Biden administration and the Bill of Rights talking about our free speech and our religious liberties that's under attack. But ladies and gentlemen, there is a major, major assault on the right to keep and bear arms in America today. Keep in mind, ladies and gentlemen, any communist nation becomes communist, they must cancel free speech. They must make it illegal to say anything against the government. They must confiscate all weapons of self-defense. They must cancel the people's right of worship. They must control the health care and the educational systems. And ladies and gentlemen, you check. Last time I checked, they have control of all of those entities in America today. And the Biden administration made this statement. I'm reading the headlines. Biden's goal is to put gun makers out of business. In the coming years, we'll decide the survival of the Second Amendment, President Trump warned before the election. Trump was right. During the 2020 campaign, Joe Biden promised a long list of gun control regulations that he intends to put in place. there's a reason that Michael Bloomberg spent $125 million helping Biden just in the state of Florida, and something over $600 million nationally in the general election. The agenda includes the classifying of many semi-automatic rifles and magazines holding more than 10 bullets. And he goes further to talk about instituting the national gun licensing law, red flag laws, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and judges that will take people's weapons away at a hearing with background checks and the private transfer of guns and the bans on semi-automatic weapons, et cetera, et cetera. The first gun control bill Biden will push in the first 100 days. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I've got news for you. Bad news, but it's news. The Biden administration has just introduced a gun control legislation, House Bill 127. It's called the Firearm Licensing and Registration Act. Let me just read you some blurbs from this Firearm and Registration Act that's just been introduced. And ladies and gentlemen, it will be fast-tracked, and unless God intervenes, unless good people, unless Christians and conservatives intervene and be the watchman on the wall and talk to your legislators and demand that it not be heard, demand that it not be passed. It's H.R. 127. To provide for the licensing and firearm and ammunition possession and the registration of firearms to prohibit the possession of certain ammunition. In the House of Representatives, January the 4th, 2021, Ms. Jackson Lee introduced the following bill, which was referred to committee on the judiciary, a bill to provide for the licensing, the firearm of ammunition possession, and the registration of all firearms, and to prohibit the firearm possession of certain ammunition. Ladies and gentlemen, I've got about a 20-page bill, 22 pages. In short, this says the Firearm Licensing and Registration Act is what it's called. It is to regulate the number of firearms that can be possessed, to regulate the amount of ammunition that a person can have. In general, this article says, and it's under the subsection B, Firearm Registration System. Required information for a person to get a license or permit to buy a weapon, not to just carry it, but to buy a weapon. He must have the make, model, and serial number of the firearm, the identity of the owner of the firearm, the date of the firearm was required by the owner, and where the firearm will be stored at all times. A notice specifying the identity of any person to whom and any period of time during which the firearm will be loaned out to any other person. Listen, to buy a firearm, you've got to have your name, address, phone number, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You've got to show identification. You've got to specify where you're going to have that gun. You've got to specify if you ever intend to lend it to your wife, your son, or your daughter. Under this new law, ladies and gentlemen, if you own a firearm, it's registered in your name, and you lend it to your wife, she protects herself in shooting someone. She's in danger of prosecution because you did not have that person listed. The deadline for supplying this information, the transmission required by this paragraph shall be made. A, in the case of a firearm acquired before the effective date of this section, within 3 months after the effective date of this section, in the case of a firearm acquired or owner after the effective date, on the date of the ownership required of the firearm. In other words, when this bill is passed, you've got to then go back, ladies and gentlemen, and you've got to register that firearm. You've got to tell who you bought it from, where you bought it, what you paid for it. You've got to tell where you've got it stored, where it will be stored, and how it would be kept, and who will have access to that weapon. The database will be set up. In general, this article says, the Attorney General shall establish and maintain a full database of all firearms registered pursuant to this subsection. Access, the Attorney General shall make the contents of this database accessible to all members of the public, to all federal and state law enforcement, and to all branches of the United States Armed Forces and all state and local government as identified by the Bureau. Licensing system. The general license, except as otherwise provided in the subsections, Attorney General shall issue to an individual a license. This license, now, ladies and gentlemen, will not come from the state or from the Department of Agriculture, as in the state of Florida. It will have to come through the Attorney General's office, and the license application will be processed on this basis. Listen, he has to be 21 years old or older. After applying for the license, the one that's applying for the license must undergo a criminal background check and conducted by the National Institute of Criminal Background Checks, established under Section 103, et cetera, et cetera. He must have the background check in possession of the firearm and all individuals in his home that might have access to that. Secondly, ladies and gentlemen, he must undergo psychological evaluation conducted in accordance with paragraph 2, and the evaluation does not indicate that the individual is a psychologically unsuited to have a firearm, but he must have, if he fails the psychological test, he cannot get his permit to buy the weapon. Thirdly, successful completing of a training course certified that by the Attorney General in the case that is that the gun can be safe and stored safely and includes at least 24 hours of training. You must have 24 hours of training under the auspices of the Attorney General in order to be able to even make application for a gun or permit. Thirdly, must demonstrate on the issuance of the license, the individual will have, in effect, an insurance policy issued by the government that you will ensure that if you hurt anyone or harm anyone with the weapon, that you have an insurance policy to pay for their damages. Fourth, must demonstrate the individual has provided for the storage of the firearm in a safe facility. Safe facility now, approved by the Attorney General for the storage of firearms. Goes further. Psychological evaluation conducted in accordance with the paragraph. There are 4 or 5 points on this, ladies and gentlemen, that makes it almost impossible to get a firearm. The evaluation is conducted in compliance with such standards that shall be established by the Attorney General. The evaluation conducted by a licensed psychologist approved by the Attorney General. As deemed necessary, the licensed psychologist include evaluation, including psychological evaluation of all members in your household to determine if they have any psychological issues. As part of the psychological evaluation, the licensed psychologist interviews any spouse, all members of the household, any former spouse, any former relatives that may or may not come into your home, and 2 other people who are not members of your home or associates of the individuals, further determine the state of your mental, emotional, and your status, stability, and an individual relationship to the firearm. Ladies and gentlemen, it goes on and on. There's about 30 pages of it. It literally puts it in the position that Joe Biden is going to be successful, if this is passed, to crush the firearm industry and to crush, absolutely eviscerate our Second Amendment rights. So ladies and gentlemen, as Christians, we need to be concerned. We need to pray, keep on looking up. Lift up our heads, for our redemption draweth nigh. Thank you for joining us on this broadcast. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1/2 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 9:45 p.m., for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You are invited to worship with them, 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard in its entirety 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM and 93.3 HD3. You're also invited to tune in Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. on Talk 100.3 for expository preaching. Tune in and invite others to listen.